Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you. What an honor to be here. Jeff has asked me to preach a standalone sermon on missions, so I get to preach on my favorite subject, and I get to have my favorite text, and I'll be in my favorite church. How cool is that? So that is it's a wonderful thing, and it's such an honor because there's so many great expositors, Jeff and Matt and the others that preach here. But my confidence comes not from the skill of my own life, but from the fact that it's the sharpness of the sword, not the skill of the swordsman. And this is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is going to cut into our lives today and divide Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and their take on Jesus' last words. Do you know when you're a parent, some of the times when you're leaving, you want to tell your kids, you kind of grab them by the face and you say, one last thing, let me just tell you again, do not torture your sister. Okay, can we get that straight? The one last thing that you say, you want to communicate and you want to reiterate. Okay, so this is Jesus' last words. We're going to start with Luke. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Because Luke doesn't cover this in his gospel, he covers this in his second book in the book of Acts. And he covers Jesus' last moments. Then we'll go to Matthew 28, Mark chapter 16, and John 21. Let's look first of all at the book of Acts. Let's take a running start from Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up. After he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive by many convincing proofs. Let's stop there just for a moment. Convincing proofs. The Greek word is tekmerion. Many technical proofs. Jesus proved he was alive. Proved he was dead. The three points are he was dead, they knew he was dead, they pierced his side, and out came a mixture of blood and water. That means the pericardial sac around his heart was pierced. He died on the cross. They took him as a dead body. The centurions knew what death was, and Jesus died. They laid him in the grave, a famous grave of Joseph of Arimathea, one of the Sanhedrin. They knew exactly where it was. It wasn't far from where he was crucified. And everyone knew where it was. And Pilate sealed it with a seal of Rome. S-P-Q-R. The Senate and the people of Rome sealed this tomb. And it was under the death penalty that anyone would break that seal. 16 Roman guards guarded the tomb. Four at a time, back to back to back to back. Under the death penalty if anyone broke that seal. Everyone knew where it was. There was no wrong tomb that they went to. It wasn't a swoon that Jesus was just having a bad day on the cross and then recovered. With many convincing proofs, he died and he was buried and he rose again. Wow. So what do we do about it? Appearing to them for a period of 40 days. This was no mirage that they just saw one time in group hypnosis. Many saw him for 40 days speaking about the kingdom of God. While he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which, he said, you have heard me speak about. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. Don't do any mission work without the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you. You can't do work for God in the flesh. So, when they came together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? Watch what verse 7 is. This is so crucial. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the period that the Father has set by his own authority. I just want to stop just for a moment and say, I cannot tell you how blessed I am to be under Jeff's ministry in the book of Revelation. He is not trying to figure out exactly the day he's coming back. He's not saying, I've got all the answers. It is not for us to know the times and the season. We don't want to be ignorant about the whole returning of our Lord Jesus Christ, but humbly, Jesus turns the conversation to when are we going back? When is he going to end it all so we can rule and reign? And he turns the conversation to evangelism. Here it is, verse 8. That was the introduction. This is the sermon. Pay attention. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. God, help us to do this in Jesus' name. First of all, let's look at Luke, but then let's look at the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. We also want to look at Jesus' last words right there in the book of Matthew, because this is also called the Great Commission. Let me just pick up at verse 16. The 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. Then when he saw them, they worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And remember that I am with you always to the end of the age." Mark chapter 16 kind of says the same thing. Some of Mark chapter 16 is not in the earliest manuscripts, but listen to what he says right here, because he reiterates it for us. Verse 15 of Matthew 16. Then he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Do you have the theme yet? The first point of this message is go. Go do it. Go. Luke tells us where. We'll get to John in just a moment, John 21. But all of these gospel writers add a little bit different perspective. Luke kind of tells us where we should go. Matthew kind of tells us what we should do, and Mark. And John gives a very personal last word where he looks at Jesus as he touches Peter's life and shares with him this very personal, who do you minister to? You minister to everyone. So the first point of this message is go, go. Go, first of all, to Jerusalem. Now, what does that mean for us? Does it mean that we should all get a ticket and fly to Tel Aviv and then take a bus up to Jerusalem and start there in the ministry? Or is he saying to us, seriously, start right where you are? Where's our Jerusalem? Right here in Blacksburg, Virginia. Right here at North Star. This is where we start. We're about to take some trips in the summer, and I've been asked to be the team leader of our mission trips. And yes, we're going to go, and we're going to travel, and we're going to do some road trips, and we're going to do some away games, but we want to start right here. And if we do anything with Vacation Bible School over there, we'd ask the people to first get involved in the Bible school right here, right? First, go to Jerusalem. This has to be a dynamic, wonderful, exciting place to be all the time. This is where God wants you to start, right where you are, our Jerusalem. Secondly, he says, go to Judea. Do you know he mentions this in Acts chapter 1, right? Do you know it took till Acts chapter 8 before people left and went to Judea and Samaria? Because one of the things that can happen is you can start liking your own church. Don't you think they liked that first church in Jerusalem? You probably had fantastic preaching. John, Peter, James, all the brothers were there. You know, the preaching was fantastic. You know, they shared about the stories with Jesus. I was there. I touched him. My hands handled him. So they're sharing, and no one wanted to go to Judea or Samaria. And God was so serious about them going to Judea and Samaria that he allowed a persecution to come out. And so then everyone spread in Acts chapter 8. Everyone spread to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. God is serious about this, but some of the times we don't take him seriously. God says, yes, start right where you are at, North Star, right here. Get involved in the ministry, but please do not stop there. And there it is. It's all over there, all the way to the Negev. They called Judea. Just go there. And we need to go to the New River Valley and share with people about the love of God. Then the tougher one, Samaria. Now, why was that so tough? Well, because Jews had a prejudice against Samaritans. Samaria was the 10 northern tribes, and the two southern tribes in Judea, Judah, they stayed together, but the 10 northern tribes were conquered in 722 by Assyria. And Assyria took them off and bred with them, took Assyrians and bred with the people in Samaria. And so they were half-breeds. Now, here's how prejudiced they got. Okay, they so didn't want the shadow of a Samaritan to fall on them that if they were going from Jerusalem to Galilee, they crossed the Jordan River. I've been in the Jordan River. It's cold. It's freezing cold because it was just snow there on the slopes of Mount Hermon just a little while ago. Melts, and then you're there in frozen water, and it's a rushing river. But they didn't want the shadow of a Samaritan to fall on them. So they would cross the Jordan River with all of the stuff, walk up the King's Highway all the way to Jerusalem, all the way to Galilee, and then cross back over the Jordan. And they were shocked when Jesus didn't do that and was talking to a Samaritan woman. What a shock. See, there's racial prejudice everywhere all the time, isn't there? There is tribalism wherever you go. In India, that's the caste system. And you think your caste is better than another caste. In Africa, it's tribalism. And the Hutu and the Tutsi go at it. And Uganda and Rwanda. And the Lua and the Kikuyu go at it in Kenya. And 40,000 were killed just a few years ago because of the tribal conflict. And you know what? We've got it right here in America, too. We got it right here in America. Now, the book of Proverbs, chapter 6, says this. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that be swift to run in the mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among his brethren. Do you know that we have people right here in America led by, not the Holy Spirit, by the adversary that sow discord amongst the brethren right here in America? They try to break us up into different sections, and they uproot us, and they try to sow discord racially, gender, age group, economic group, all of that. That is not Christianity. Turn with me or just listen. I'll read it to you. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. You can write it down. Verse 27 says, for those who were baptized into Christ have been clothed in Christ. We all have the same clothes on. We all have the same uniform. We're all wearing the same uniform for God. There is neither Jew nor Greek. That was the racial divide. There is neither slave nor free. That was the economic divide, rich and poor. There is neither male nor female. That's the great gender divide. And yet the adversary sows seeds of discord in all of these areas in our society, doesn't he? The adversary tries to divide us by race, tries to divide us by gender, tries to divide us by economics. But we are all wearing the same team, and we're all in the same family. Turn to somebody, your neighbor, and just say, we're all on the same team. Do you know what is so great about going to Samaria? We're all on the same team. We're all in the same family. Isn't that great? Yeah, we might be wearing different clothes, but we all have the same uniform. We're all clothed in the righteousness of Christ, not in our own righteousness. Boy, I loved running out through the tunnel and having all the teammates with me running through the tunnel, and you're so pumped up because you're going to play football and you might die, but you hope to live and survive. But you're all on, you got these big teammates with you. Do you know one of the things that I do? I sit over here with my brothers from Africa almost every week. Because the wonderful thing about Blacksburg is the world has come here. Samaria is right across the street and right across your dorm. If you go to Virginia Tech, reach out to someone who is close but different and get to know them. And I'm not saying start with people from UVA. That would take a whole another level of sanctification. And certainly not Georgia Tech. No, that'll leave a mark. Don't do it. But start with someone from Africa, India, the uttermost parts of the world. Get to know them and say, we all are on the same team for Jesus. Do not stay just in your comfort zone, but say, dear God, someday, somehow, I want to go, and I want to go where the gospel has never been preached. I had the opportunity to go to Agra, India. It was the middle of the night for me because it was daytime for them. I get there, I land, and they said, okay, Pastor, would you preach? We're going to go to a village. No one there has heard the gospel. No one knows about Jesus. You're the first one to go. Man, they set up battle lamps at night. The microphone was the worst I had ever used, crackling. I remember what I preached. 10 years ago, I preached on the prodigal son. Lost sheep, lost coin, lost boy. 15 years later, I show the picture from that event to my friend. And I said, you know, there was a lot of people that stood up. I didn't even know if they had understood. They stood up and they prayed to receive Christ and they started off. What happened? He says, we've been going back to that village. 7 pastors have come out of that village. See, we want to just not go and have a moment with people. We want to go and keep a relationship. We want to develop them. And that's what Matthew's talking about. Transition to Matthew. What does Matthew say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel and do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things. What did Mark say? Same thing. Go and teach them to observe all things. That's why discipleship is so important. We are not here just to have a moment together. We are here to have a transition together, so we are completely changed. So what does it mean? What does teaching them to observe all things mean? Well, it means several things. It means that you should go and you should make disciples. That at least means getting a grip on your Bible, getting to know what a prayer life is, getting connected in small groups, learning how to contribute to the kingdom. It at least means those simple things, learning how to praise, learning pure devotion in your life, how to live righteousness. That's what it means. So that's not done just in a sermon. That's done through connection. Connection and discipleship happens not by hearing. Don't you love the motto of this church? Don't just go to church and listen. Be the church. Learn to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. So Luke tells us where to go. Matthew tells us what to do. Make disciples. Pastor Jeff was talking to me in one of the small groups that we were in. They call it the Wisdom Club, but really it's just old people. And don't know if we're any wiser, but we're older. And I was chosen because of the gray hair. It hurts, but it's true. And so he asked us, he says, I've got an opportunity. It's right here in the midst of the fall, but it's the opportunity to go to Istanbul and pastor and preach to 150 pastors. And I said, Jeff, do not turn down that opportunity. If you can teach people, 150 pastors, how to rightly divide the word of truth. And he's a fine expository preacher. If you can teach them that, then you will be multiplying the ministry of North Star. Amen? And isn't it great that we can send our best? People really dynamic that are in the prime of their career to the foreign countries and do exactly what God's asking this church to be about. And that's what we're going to do. And teaching them to observe all things doesn't just happen by listening to a message. So he tells us not only where to go, but what to do. And then the third go is John. And he tells us who to minister to. Now let me just tell you the story. John chapter 21. This is Beth just told in narrative fashion. So I've read this passage many times. Here it is. John chapter 21. You can read it later. Here it is. Jesus is on the beach. And Peter denied him three times right there before the cross. And so he's going to ask him three times. What up, Peter? He takes John with him. John's writing this all down. He's recording it. It's the only gospel writer that records it. But John's writing this, and here they are on the sandy beach of the Sea of Galilee. They've just gotten 153 fish hauled in from a super catch. They know it's Jesus, and then he starts to walk, and I think he holds Peter by the shoulder, and he goes, Peter, you big fisherman, you, do you really love me? Do you love me? And the word is agape. Do you love me with an everlasting, consistent love? And Peter comes back and he says, you know, I love you with a brotherly love, but I'm a mess up. I fouled up many times. And then he tells him what to do. He said, if you really love me, take care of my lambs. Now let me ask you this. Is he talking about shepherding sheep, or is that a metaphor? Is he really saying, take the little children and bring them unto yourself? Do you remember when we were walking and all the little kids were running up to me and you and other disciples were saying, get out of here, he's busy, can't you see, we're about to preach. And I said to you, what? Let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I'm studying this passage, going over it this morning, and my four-year-old grandson woke up first and was there and wanted to play with the hippos and the giraffes and the zebras. And I'm wondering, do I shoo him away and get his mom because I'm trying to study, let the little children come unto me? Do you know there's nothing cuter than a preschooler? To me, you peak physically at about three. That's the cutest thing on earth. It's all downhill after three. Maybe four, but anyway, it's early, man. Kids are cute. It is not a burden to go work in the children's department at North Star. Is it, Julie? Where is she? Okay. It's not. It's a blessing. And you get to do exactly what Jesus is saying. Now he asks him again, doesn't he? Peter, you big fisherman, foul up. First to open your mouth. First to declare you're the Messiah, the Son of God. First, only one to jump out of the boat, walk on water, till you took your eyes off of me. Peter, do you really love me? Yes, Lord, I really love you. Then take care of my sheep. Do you know what we're supposed to do? As ministers of the gospel, as Christians, we're supposed to take care of one another. They did that in the book of Acts. They delivered food. They took care of every single person. Why are we? Can all you get and sit on the can? That is not the ministry. We are to be about changing people's lives. We are to take care of one another. They did that in the book of Acts. They shared everything. Barnabas sells a field, lays it upon the apostles' feet. Take everything that I have and make a difference for the kingdom. Go and make a difference to the sheep. What's the last one? He says it again a third time. This time, Jesus uses, do you phileo me? Do you love me even like a brother? Then take care of my sheep. Now what is, look at the progression. What's he probably talking about? He's probably talking about young, middle-aged, and can I get a witness? Old, when gray hair is the crown of your glory. Now I'm not there yet, but I can see it from here. And I'll tell you this, we have a ministry here at Warm Hearth. My wife will be going today, and those people count. You walk up to them and you say, what's your name? I don't know. I used to know, but I don't know anymore. Do you know they still need the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Look at what he's saying. He says to Peter, someday you'll be old. Read the passage. Someday you'll be old. You'll go where you don't want to go, and people will have you do what you don't want to do, and you still count. It is not as much fun to be with the seniors as it is the preschoolers. They're not as cute. They got some of the same problems. Do you know what, in Japan they sell more adult diapers than children's diapers? That is a not fun place to be, I tell you, for that. But they count for God. What am I trying to say? Go. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Teach them to observe all things. And take care of who? Everybody. Because everybody counts. Turn to your neighbor and say, you count for God. You count. You're in it. You're either lamb or sheep or you're old. So there you go. Now, two more points. Secondly, and you got to listen faster. Secondly, if you can't go, give. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We're going to look at Romans chapter 10. I'll be there first because I marked it. Romans chapter 10. 10, 9 and 10 are so famous because it says, you know, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Isn't that fantastic? That's wonderful. That's how you become a Christian. But watch what he says in verse 14. How then can they call on him on whom they've not believed? And how can they believe on him without hearing about him? And how can they hear about him without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? You see that? There's a full fourfold process. Watch. It's right in the reverse. First, somebody gives and sends a preacher. The preacher preaches, and then people hear and believe. I almost brought four dominoes today and say, this is the first domino to fall. And you can start through your giving and my giving, we can start the first domino that leads to all of the others, because then people hear and then they believe and then they're sent. Isn't that wonderful? In giving, we can have a fraction of the action. As people go, because not everyone can go, and you can give and you can say, you know what? Where my treasure is, there is my heart also. Because when you start to give to a group that goes to the DR or goes to Jamaica or the uttermost parts of the earth, you can say, dear God, I care about it because I've invested in it. You care about your investments. And so God wants to do all of those things for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he says, he who gives seed to the sower, the sower is the preacher, but he who gives seed to the sower enlarges his righteousness forever. Isn't that wonderful? There's a story I've told that is told. I don't know if it's true or not, but there was a $100 bill, a $20 bill, and a $1 bill. And they're all getting ready to be shredded. And the $100 bill says, well, I'm ready, you know. I've eaten in some of the foreign finest restaurants in the world. I've been to Europe twice. I'm ready to go into the shredder. The $20 bill says, well, it's been good for me. I've bought a lot of gas, a lot of groceries, been to Mickey D's. So I'm ready to go. $20 bill gets shredded. The $1 bill says, well, it's been boring for me. Go to church, go to church, go to church. May not be a true story, but our giving can make a difference. Isn't that wonderful? Our giving can cause others to go. Why is Jeff going? He didn't have to plead for an offering to go to Istanbul. This church is a healthy, vibrant church because our contributions make a difference. Amen? Amen. Go, give, and get going. Watch the last one. Back to Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. After he had said this, he was taken up, and they were watching, and a cloud came and took him out of their sight. While he was still going, they were gazing into heaven. Suddenly, two men with white clothes stood among them and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." I love how King James says it. Why stand you there gazing? Can you be there with me on the top of the Mount of Olives? There they are. All the disciples are there. It's the last thing Jesus ever said. He said, "Get going, go into all the world." And then they're just standing there going, "Wow, did you see that? He's taking the cloud came," and he just, whoosh. That's the first ascension they had ever seen. They were too young to see Elijah taken in the chariot. That was 800 years ago. They had heard about it, but here he is, and they're taken up, and then they just stand there and go, "Wow, wow. That's amazing." Two angels got to come down and say, "Okay, get going, snap out of it. Game time, break the huddle, let's go. Tip off, don't just stand there, don't just watch. Closing words, here's the conclusion, get going. Sign up." Right there in the class, be a part. Not just a spectator, but a participant. Not just the audience, but an army. New workers. I come and I watch, and some of the parents drop their kids off so quick. It's like stop, drop, and go. Like there's a fire, you know. No, that's a stop, drop, and roll. But anyway, you get it. How about stop, drop, and stay? How about find where you can make a difference right here? Start right here in Jerusalem. And then go to the uttermost parts of the earth. Tanner, come on back. Let's bring the team up. Because it's not a complicated message, is it? No, it's not complicated. Jesus said, let's have the go into all the world. Here's what to do. Make disciples of them. Don't just have them say a prayer. Don't just stand up for Jesus. That's the start. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. But teach them to observe all things. That happens with Bible study and connection, not just message. And then get going, right? Why stand you there just gazing? Let's stand together. But don't just gaze. Reflect on what the Holy Spirit of God through his word is asking you to do. Go, give, and get going. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.